All right, this is your final Jeopardy question, which was my final Jeopardy clue. This world leader was born in Kiev, then became a United States citizen before becoming, in 1969, the prime minister of a country founded in the 20th century. So hold that in your head for a minute. So I was not born in Kiev. I was born in Buffalo. Yeah, Buffalo, you notice we don't live there now. And so I grew up fairly quickly into not an ordinary child. When other ordinary children were outside playing sports or enjoying fresh air or interacting with other children, I was inside. I liked to read books. I liked to trace maps with tracing paper out of atlases obsessively. I liked to read encyclopedias that my parents bought me, and I would get very upset when I found out that the encyclopedias were 30 years old and a lot of the information was outdated. So I was exactly the kind of child who, at the age of about 8 or so, would be very, very excited to learn that a new trivia show was coming on the air. And you know, there was this whole blitz about this new Jeopardy, which apparently there used to be an old Jeopardy before my time. So this new show was coming on, and I watched it really obsessively. My mom and I watched Jeopardy every night, back when Alex Trebek had a mustache still. And even though I was a little kid, and you know, growing older, but still a kid, I knew a lot of the answers on Jeopardy because of my nerdiness. And people started to say, you should be on Jeopardy. And I said, yes, I should be on Jeopardy. So I filled out the 3x5 card to be on the kids tournament, and then to be on the teen tournament, and then to be on the college tournament. Nothing ever came of it. So a few years ago, my wife, who is generally responsible for anything I do that involves initiative on my part, said to me, you know, you should really find out about trying out to be on Jeopardy. And after about the 10th time she said this, I'm like, all right, fine. So it's all on the, you can try out on the internets now. So you go, so the first step is you have to take a test online that proves whether you're actually have the trivia knowledge. And apparently I did, because I took it online and I got invited to the next stage, which is an in-person tryout. They do mock games. The purpose of this stage is to find out whether you can make eye contact with your fellow human beings or whether you're kind of a borderline Asperger's case. So I went down there and I felt like I did okay. They put you through some mock games. They make you prep for that insanely awkward conversation with Alex where you talk about your hobbies. And so then they're like, you know, don't call us, we'll call you. So about a year later, they do call me, and they said, come to Los Angeles in 4 weeks, you're on Jeopardy. So it's very exciting. So my wife and I get on the plane, fly out, stay in the nice hotel, go to the big studio. So you go there, first of all, they film 5 shows a day, and you go in a big pool of contestants, you go there over 2 days, and so it's kind of like if you have a season pass to Jeopardy on your TiVo, and you just watch it right in a row. It's very intense. That song haunts you for days. And so all the contestants, you hang out with the other contestants, people work on the show, they're incredibly nice. All the contestants, incredibly nice, except for this one woman. And so I sit through a whole day of shows watching from the audience. I don't get picked. Next day I go back, the third show of the day, I get picked. It's me, it's the woman I can't stand, and it's Mark, the guy who's just won 3 shows in a row and is really good. And if people watch Jeopardy, he won a lot. So he was really good. So the thing about Jeopardy is you watch the show at home and sometimes you see a guy on the show or a woman on the show and they're just not answering. You're like, who's this idiot? How'd they get on the show? The thing is, they're very smart, let me tell you. But the hardest part about Jeopardy, and the one thing that you cannot practice at home, is the buzzer. You have to buzz in at exactly the right time. You can't buzz in while Alex is still reading the clue. Even though the clue is right there, you can read it. And of course, you've read it to the end, and you already know the answer. But you can't buzz in until Alex is done, or you get blocked out for just long enough, usually for someone else to jump in. So I'm up there on the stage. I'm next to the woman I can't stand. But she's not getting to me because I can't help but focus on how terribly I'm doing. First 5 minutes of the show is nothing, and I'm just eating it. I'm up there, I'm pressing the button, I'm that guy who's like, and nothing is happening. Mark is like, yes, da 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 da. And so So finally, about halfway before the first commercial break, I get my first right answer. And it did kind of feel like I broke through a wall a little bit. The rest of the show, I get ahead of the woman between us. We get to the very end of the show, final Jeopardy clue. I'm in second place, I'm way, way behind. But if I get it right and Mark gets it wrong, then I will win. So then the final Jeopardy clue comes up. It's world leaders, which is one of my dorkiest dorky things I love to dork out about. I'm like, I'm totally gonna get this. So that clue comes up and it's in blank, total blank. So does anyone here know who it is? You can just shout it out. It was in fact Golda Meir. My Jewish grandmother spinning in her grave. So fortunately, Mark got it right, which meant that even if I had gotten it right, I still wouldn't have won. I came up with a very obscure Eastern Europe Czechoslovakian leader from the 60s that I write down at the last minute because I want to write down something, unlike the woman next to me who wrote a bunch of question marks. I'm still kind of smug about that. So it's done. And I should say, you know, a lot of people on the stage tonight have talked about how competitive they are. And I am not a competitive person at all, which is one of the reasons why I was sort of hesitant to do Jeopardy in the first place. And I didn't realize until the moment I lost how much I really wanted to win. Because there are a couple of reasons. One is that everyone, you know, I'm a big dork, and it's like huge dork cred. And, you know, my whole life I wanted to be on this show, and I was on it for 20 minutes, and then it was over. And I also could have won a lot of money, which is not something to be, you know, sneezed at. So anyway, I felt really shitty afterwards. And, you know, one of my best friends was in town, also went to see it, and we went out to lunch, and I felt really crappy with my wife and my friend. And we're like, I felt a little better afterwards. You do get $1,000 just for being in third place, which is, you know, not what Mark got, but it was something. So I come home, and now this is the thing about being on game shows in general, is that there's about a 3-month window between when you film it and when it comes on TV. And you're allowed to tell your inner circle is allowed to know, but they really don't want you spreading the information around. So most people didn't know how I had done. In that 3-month window, we bought a new car because our old one died, and we went to Italy because we had been saving up for 2 years to do it, but these purchases raised certain expectations, which started to make me sort of anxious all over again. And so, very quickly, we realized that the number of people who wanted to watch the show with us was going to be larger than the amount of people we could fit in our house. So we went up to a bar near where we live, PJ's on Charles Street, and asked if we could have a Jeopardy party there. And they said yes. They were all big Jeopardy nerds. So the day comes, it's my show, and I'm sort of anxious all over again for, you know, that I've already let myself down and my inner circle down, and now I'm gonna let this whole new set of people down with my failure. So we get there, and you know, people are coming in, people I don't know are there, just happen to be in the bar, and the show comes on, and they turn it on, and every TV, there's like 4 big screen TVs all over the bar, all my heavily made up face in high def. So I'm watching the show, and I thought that first 5 minutes on the show was bad when I was doing it, it was even worse watching it live on screen because I'm listening to everyone else, sort of like just not making any noise at all watching this. And then I finally get that first right answer, and everybody cheers. And I was sort of taken aback. It was not what I was expecting. And I sort of realized as the game goes on, and they're all cheering for me, and they're booing Mark, and they're booing this other woman. And I realized that I'd never really been on any kind of competitive athletics when I was a kid, what with the encyclopedia reading. I had been on Little League, but like, you know, at a level where the only people who come are your parents, and they, you know. So I had never really had this experience that people are actually cheering for me. And in a way, it's kind of awesome because I didn't even have to be distracted by competing. Like, I could just appreciate the cheering and watch myself, you know, sort of catching up. I looked like I was doing better. So, you know, as we're getting towards the end, and I suddenly have this weird brain flash, like, maybe it's gonna end differently this time. Maybe I'm gonna win, and it's gonna be so great. But it turned out that didn't happen. So, so, but, you know, it was great. It was really awesome. Everyone was there, and, you know, and then I got to stand up, and everyone cheered, and I got to tell basically a variation of this story I just told you. Apologies to anyone who was there and saw it already. And I realized, you know, like, in a way, I did win. But, you know, in another way, I lost, and it would have been nice to have the money.